Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another month of Member Solutions Conference Call. I'm excited, as I always am. Actually, I'm pretty excited now. For the last 2 months, I've been hopping and popping at my school. So many things going on with us, and we're really, really excited. We actually just got involved with purchasing a new building. I found a building in my town on the water, which is great. I have dock space now, and even though I don't have a boat, but it's pretty cool to just have that view of the ocean. And there's so much going on in my schools. But today, our conference call is based off of developing an A-plus staff. And I just put together a packet on developing a world-class leadership team. I'm going to start there because I believe that, you know, in order to cover topics like recruitment, the do's and don'ts, staff management, building a mission statement and a vision statement, and hiring motivated staff instructors, it has to start somewhere. So first I'm going to go into this, and then there's going to be portions of the time where I urge you guys to ask me questions, because I could feed off of the questions that you have, and I almost guarantee you that a question that you ask that you may think is not that important or silly, everyone else wants to ask as well. So anyway, quickly, when I began my school, I had no idea what to do. I designed things somewhat out of a 1980s ninja movie. I teach the art of ninjutsu, and I thought what I saw in the movies combined with my imagination would be the making of a great martial arts school. And to be honest with you, I was totally wrong. You know, I started teaching how I was taught. I followed my instructor's leads. I watched them. And to say the least, this was probably the worst thing I could have done. And my mentality I had was so far off base that it was not only damaging to my students, but to my school and to people that, you know, and martial arts as a whole, but to the future of the martial art industry. So anyway, if you guys ever want to check out my history and my school and how I do what I do, you should check out my website. It's www.liNinja.com. That's liNinja.com. There's a lot of cool things on websites. We have a really great website that actually gets us probably anywhere from 5 to 8 leads per week of people emailing me asking me questions about our program. Anyway, I stepped ahead in time about 14 years, and now my organization at present, I've come light years, not only in the student base. From 30 students now, I have 1,200 students. I'm running an organization that is now truly an organization. And I've made some extreme changes. I had to shift my mentality. I had a paradigm shift when it came to my Hollywood vision to the reality of being a martial art teacher and a school owner. I want everyone to know that there's a huge difference between a teacher and a business owner and a, you know, what we would think of as a martial art instructor back in the 1980s or 70s or 60s or that Mr. Miyagi kind of mentality. There's just, it's just almost a science in itself, the art of teaching. And the beauty of it all is that it's easily attained and learned, but you have to, at some point, take the time to learn those skills of instruction and so on. And this goes for staff members and anything in the business field. So anyway, we'll keep going on. And when I talk about staff members, I had just a great conversation with a friend of mine who's having some staffing issues from Colorado. And I basically start everything off as a team leadership development program. We have 2 levels to our team leadership development. And so we start off with team leaders, and then we have a team leadership character development program. That's our step 2. Now, basically, all of my people that have come into my school have gone through either some form of team leadership or some form of my team leadership character development program. So just to get an idea is, when I designed this program, I was putting together a business curriculum for the basic school owner or the person that knows nothing or the basic student who knows nothing about instruction. And the sad reality is a lot of martial arts school owners, they have a great deal of information and that they've gotten either from their instructors or from seminars or from whatever sources, except that the information is piled and packed in, and sometimes you really don't know how to utilize it. Now, this is the same for students. They just because they're taught martial arts doesn't mean that they're going to be good quality teachers. It's also a lot of the instructors that own schools around the country. Just because they're great fighters or great martial artists doesn't mean that they're going to be great managers of a school, great mentors to people, and they're not going to always be the great business people. So basically what I do is that I start off and I have 2 scenarios. The first scenario is a free program. So the free program is basically considered a team leadership program. Now, this free program is geared towards getting people interested in our scenario 2, which is our team leadership character development program. So the main thing that I want to do is create an interest within our school. I want to create people that have a desire to be some form of instructor. Now, they don't have to be a full-time martial artist. They could have a job. They could be a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, a police officer. But they love the martial arts, and they like being out in front. It's kind of an ego boost to be in front of a class. It's like being a performer. I used to be in a 1980s rock band, a metal band. I toured around the country with all the 80s metal people like Poison and Skid Row and all these bands and Bon Jovi and things like that. And I loved being on stage. And the shift from being on stage to being in the martial arts school in front of students wasn't really that different. Being a public speaker wasn't really that different. All of us that are out in front of a class, we enjoy that thrill, that focus on us, and we enjoy that performance. So you never know who is going to be the perfect candidate. So basically what I do is to build my bench strength of future instructors, I start to try to put feelers out there for people who may be interested in team leading. Now, the team leadership development program is just a team leader program is geared towards creating that interest and giving people a taste for what they do. It's a free program. I don't charge people. But what I do is I get them in the school, and they help me in many, many areas. Now, I know there are a lot of people out there, and they basically, you know, that are running a school, and not only are they the school owner, the instructor on the floor, they're the bookkeeper, they're the sales agent, they're the cleaner, the cook, everything you could possibly think of, you do. A lot of times when I hear people in my one-on-one consulting calls, is people are saying, I can't do it all myself, or I need to find the quality staff. So here's some of the ideas on what are required for our team leaders. This is a list of some of the ideas. The only rank requirement that I require is that they be higher rank than the class that they're assisting in. So, for instance, if I get a 10-year-old to help me in a class, and it's a white belt class, he should be at least maybe one or two ranks higher than what he's instructing. And I would also prefer that my 10-year-old, which we consider our youth group 9 to 15, would maybe be helping out in a little ninja class, which is 3 to 5-year-olds, or a mighty ninja class. So not only is he older and a higher rank, but he is, you know, he's got more maturity as well. An adult beginner white belt could help out in a little ninja class. An adult yellow belt could help out in a little or mighty ninja class. It doesn't matter the actual rank, just that they're older and a little bit higher in ranking. They don't have to be black belts or brown belts. Now, just to give you an idea that the one thing that I want to warn you is that you when you do put in a student, make sure that you're not just finding someone to fill the position, but you're finding someone that's qualified to actually perform in the position. This is a big mistake that we make when we hire staff members. We'll sometimes think of Mrs. Smith, who has no background whatsoever in sales or organizational skills whatsoever, and all of a sudden we say, oh, wow, she needs a job. Let's put her in this position and we'll train her. And that's okay if she has the capability to be trained, but we also need to look for the right person for the job rather than the person to fit the job, rather than the person to fill the position. We need to find the right people. And we're going to go into that a little bit more. But now here's some requirements for our team leaders. That, you know, we have 3 levels to our team leadership program, but in our basic level, the kids or the adults that are helping are going to be doing tasks like tying on belts, organizing lines on the floor, walking a student to the bathroom if they need to have supervision, of course not going in, just an escort, holding pads on the floor, doing some basic warm-up exercises when the class is getting started. We also give our team leaders the responsibility of teaching a little bit, just slightly, under our direct supervision. For instance, I will never leave the floor and leave a team leader in charge unless they're a black belt and they've been with me for a really long time. The goal is that I'm on the floor with the students, and I could have 5 team leaders breaking up the class in 5 different categories, teaching 5 different drills, but be walking from group to group and checking on them. My team leader is usually there to help me and make my flow over the classroom and the ease of my job. That's basically what they're there for. They're going to do everything that I can't do. If I need to answer the phone, I might have to say, Johnny, do me a favor, take the count and lead the class from 1 to 50 while I answer the phone. They're going to do all these things that, you know, that I can't do. They're going to be my second hands and you know, keeping things organized. Now, my requirements for my team leaders are simple. Basically, of course, you could set this up according to your own schedule, but it's recommended that we don't use our team leaders or overuse our team leaders. So, in other words, we want to give them maybe 1 or 2 hours a week only, specifically days that, like, if you were scheduling out a work job, a job order, that they're going to be there on Tuesday and Thursdays, maybe an hour after their class or an hour before their class, and they're going to help you with only 2 hours per week, 2 days a week. You never want to overuse them, because what will happen is they're going to burn out, and you're not only going to lose them as a team leader, but you'll lose them as a student as well. Now, another thing that I want to make sure, which is, this is a common issue, is that the students become lazy. They become lazy when they start teaching, and they only teach, they only team lead, and then they stop coming to their regular classes. So we require that they make their regular classes and scheduled classes, and that they're training well, and they're progressing through the ranks. For instance, if I teach 20 classes a week, I want to ask, at least if I can, I want to have 20 team leaders there. Maybe I'll have 10 of them, and 10 of them will do 2 hours per class or two classes per week. So every single class I have a different team leader, or I have multiple team leaders in within a classroom helping me. If I want to have two or three, I can overschedule more people on the floor. This way I have help no matter what I'm doing. I could always turn to Johnny. He's tying a belt. The other kid may need help to go to the bathroom. Someone may be answering the door or helping me while I'm answering the phone. And basically I want to work this way. I never make it mandatory that any specific student becomes a team leader, because I don't want to have a person on the floor that doesn't actually want to be there. Now, quickly, the benefits of a team leader is, one, what do they get? They get a better knowledge of the curriculum. This is due to extra classes that they're involved with, as well as time spent with an instructor. It's also for them learning how to teach and helping. Teaching is probably one of the best tools to learning. Number two, another benefit is the ability for them to work on their public speaking skills. You know, out of fear, human fears, public speaking is rated one of the top three. So becoming a team leader will polish the student's ability to be in front of a crowd, as well as developing good communication skills, dealing with students of all ages. It helps them to be better communicators, and they become more compassionate and understanding individuals. The third thing I find that's a benefit to them is it gives them a vision. You know, we want to create vision all the time for our employees, and this is a key thing. When we have people working for us, we want to create a vision for them so that they realize that the martial arts is not just about physical benefits, that they, you know, we want to continually stress the non-physical side. We want our students to be good physically, but we want to also like them to see the successes in everyday life. It's our goal to help our students achieve the ability to excel in everything they do, whether it be school, sports, job, relationships, and so on. And this is also a great way to monitor them and see them and help them through particular obstacles. The next thing I believe, and this is one of the key ones too, is to see things from another point of view. This is through the time spent with a variety of people. So, for instance, a team leader might help out three or four different instructors. So they might not get roped into one mentality, being with the head instructor, how he teaches, what he says, what he does. It develops a personality of teaching and instruction. And it'll help them become a better person, but at the same time, it'll help them have and develop their own personality on the floor. So these are a few key benefits now. And I normally recruit from my team leadership program. I recruit students from all ages so that they can help me. And a good majority of my full-time employees, the ones that are working, making a huge living and a great living in our school, in our five locations, actually came out of our team program, our team leadership program, and then they became employees. Now, before I ask questions, I want to jump into my scenario two, which is a program that I actually charge for. So remember, everything that I spoke about just now was on developing interest, getting people to help me, getting people excited about the program. But my ultimate goal is to get them into a program where they could step from three to four categories. And the next program is basically my scenario two, is basically our team leadership character development program. Now, this program is a long-term program that gives our students the ability to become professional teaching martial art instructors. And not only are they going to use it in the martial arts setting, but they may go through this team leadership character development program and use it in their life, use it in their school, use it in college, use it in relationships, and so on. Normally, my program it's intended to cost $595. Basically, I charge that for the year. Some people that I know have charged upward of $1,000 and more for a program of this style. And I'm going to go into the different levels that I use, and some of them I had borrowed from Melody Schumann. Some of them I've gotten from other people like the Kovars, and I've developed them into a pretty intensive team leadership character development program. But before I do that, let me just quickly open up the floor for any questions if we, you know, so far what we covered. So, Joanne, let's open that up. Does anybody have a question on anything? Anybody out there want to ask a question? No?
Okay. Sure, I'll take a shot.
Okay, take a shot. And anybody out there, do not feel funny, guys. This is where we're going to open it up to the floor for some creative thinking as well. And sometimes I'll be able to get a question and run off with it and answer a little bit more stuff. So go ahead.
Yeah, first of all, I apologize. I got on here late.
Okay.
I heard you talking about having people 2 days a week in the leadership program.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I got in, so I'm sure you covered a lot of stuff before.
Yes.
I'm at the point in my school where I'm going to have to hire some people, and I'm struggling between independent contractors and or hiring an employee. Have you covered that, or are you going to cover that?
No, actually, I'm actually going to go into that, and that is a great question. And actually, I'm going to jot that down because I think that, you know, your question as far as independent contractors, meaning people from the outside employees, right?
Well, yeah.
They're not students. They're people that you just hire for the position.
The reason is because I've got over 30 years in the martial arts, but I'm 1 year in a new state and a new place.
Okay. Well, that's a great question. And what was the second question? You said outside employees.
Either independent contractors or hire them by the hour. And if I do hire them by the hour, what all do I need to know? What do I need to do, such as workman's comp, insurance,
okay,
and so forth?
Those
and how much do I pay them?
That's all great questions. We're definitely going to go over that. I'm going to ask you again to repeat that, and because that's kind of almost covered in what I'm going to go over. But at the same time, I'm going to get that question and answer all those questions for you. So on the next break, when I break a second, re-ask those questions because right about that time we'll be on par with that.
No, I'll wait.
Okay, great. Anyone else? Any other questions on what we covered so far? Okay, let me continue. Let's go back in lecture mode, Joanne. Thanks. Basically, in my team leadership character development program, I've developed a program that is a one-day-a-week program where people are actually learning methods of becoming an instructor. And there are three tiers to our program. Basically, the program costs $595 above and beyond my normal tuition rate. So whatever I'm charging, whether it be $1,500, it's $595 extra. And basically what it includes is 1 half-hour actual classroom setting where they're doing physical or mental training, and they're learning for a half an hour different topics. Now, I'll go into the different topics in a minute, but basically there are three levels to this program. For the first 6 months, 5 to 6 months, they're in a program which is basically considered the greeter program. Basically, this I had gotten and borrowed from Melody, and it's really, really great because basically they're learning. This is entry level into our program, and it lasts for the 5 or 6 months, and they're learning about public speaking skills. They're learning about conflict resolution. They're learning about dealing with people, you know, greeting people at the door, helping bring a new parent into the office. They're getting over their fear of the initial contact. Basically, for 5 or 6 months, their job is to help the new student when they come in. If I have a new kid 5 or 6 years old that I institute into a class, they'll be their buddy for the day. They're going to help them, teach them where to bow, what to do, how to work, and so on and so forth. Their job is basically the public relations of our school. And now, of course, they're new students. They're new at this, so we're teaching them as they go. So most importantly, as they're learning, they're going to be kind of putting it into action. Now, everyone in our assistant program doesn't necessarily have contact with the general population. So, for instance, for 5 or 6 months, they may just be in a classroom setting, and they might be practicing with their peers that are also in our team leadership character development program. If I find that they have an actual ability to be able to work, then what I'll do is at that point is what I'll assign them to a position in our school where they can help out, and now that's when they start to deal with the parents and deal with the kids and deal with the prospects and so on. So the main thing is it's their job as a greeter, as a beginner level, is to make a good first impression. My goal is when Mrs. Smith, who's a prospect with her new son, her son that comes to the door, I want them to be able to go, wow, I want my kid to be like them. I want my kid to act like them, talk like them, and be as motivated as them. So our entire first or six, 5 or 6 months is basically teaching the person how to greet people and deal with people and talk to people politely and work with them professionally. Now, every class, every Saturday class in our school, we have a class from 8:30 to 9 a.m. They have a half an hour, 30 minutes, that they're actually working on things like goal setting, time management skills, public speaking skills, conflict resolution like verbal judo. And we have a 6-month revolving curriculum based around that program. Our second tier that we use for our people is once they graduate out of that, which is usually now from the 6 to the 12-month period, is our organizers. Our organizers are basically simple people that are simple is a simple job, not simple people, a simple job where they're actually helping on the floor. They're setting up pads, organizing lines, making sure all the kids' belts are tied, making sure that people are stretched out properly. They're walking around the classroom and assisting them if they're doing something incorrectly. Now they're going to start doing more on the floor with maybe doing warm-ups and warm-downs in the beginning or the end of a class. If I need to step away or one of our instructors needs to step away for a quick second to talk to Mrs. Smith off the floor, they're able to kind of take over. And now we're giving them a bigger responsibility, usually helping them build their self-esteem, polish their public speaking skills, and it actually is a huge ego boost to get them more motivated to becoming into our next level. The third tier is an assistant to the instructor. Now, notice how I said this. This is not an assistant instructor. It's really an assistant to the instructor, meaning that he's there mirroring what the instructor is doing, helping him make his life easier. The third phase is about another 6 to 12 months. At this time, the student completes lesson plans. They're doing homework assignments. They're basically getting plenty of experience with instructing, dealing with parents, dealing with difficult situations. In the classroom, they're learning more on public speaking. They're learning with how to deal with children with ADD, ADHD, and so on and so forth. So it's a rather extensive program. And then our fourth tier and the final tier is our instructor in training program. And that's an additional charge. So basically the team leadership character development has three tiers, which lasts about 2 years at $595. And then they're going to go into a program which is an assistant instructor program, and they're going to learn how to be instructors, and the cost is $695, and that lasts for about 10 weeks. So I want to just take a quick break and answer questions for now, and then we're going to get into actual employment questions and so on. So anybody out there have any additional questions on what we just covered?
Hey, Allie.
Yes.
This is Chuck Crone.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Fantastic.
Right. That last comment you said, how many weeks that lasts, you bleeped out right when you said the number of weeks.
Okay. On the last one, an assistant to the instructor, is our third phase basically is about from anywhere from 6 to 12 months it'll last. So you can be in it for 6 months or you could be in it for an entire year, which our entire program would then be 2 years long, which is a two-year team leadership character development program. Sometimes longer, depending on the students, depending on the parents. You know, our initial goal is to motivate our students to become the best instructors possible, to be able to deal with, you know, any situation and become professionals at what they do. Does that answer your question?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Do you have any others?
Many. I just got to figure them out.
Okay, go ahead. Take a second and think about it. Anybody else out there have a question?
Yes,
no?
Allie, I do.
Okay, go ahead. Who's this?
This is Joe Sherwood.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great.
The assistant instructor program, the level 4?
Right.
How long is that?
That program is only 10 weeks long, and it consists of two-hour classes every single week and two extensive classes of 6 hours. So it's about, I'd say it's about 10 weeks, it's going to be about 30 to 40 hours of instruction. And I charge $695 on that. And I basically put, I'd say probably about 30 to 40 people through that program a year, which if you do the numbers, it's a huge income generator. But really, to me, it's nothing more than getting bench strength built up so that I have a huge list of people that show the interest in becoming instructors. Now, every single one of my full-time people that work for me now have been through my instructor training program.
So at this point, they go through your level 4, they're assistant instructors?
Correct.
How do they become instructors?
Well, that is entirely up to you. When I say an assistant instructor, it could be somebody who's helping. At some point when they became a full-time instructor, they've taught for a period of time, I've watched them, made sure that they have the capabilities, because, of course, as you know, just because they go through a necessary class or a program doesn't mean that they have the qualities and the qualifications or the personality at that point to be on the floor. We have to be real careful with who we put on our floor, because it literally could, we could lose students because of it and run ourselves out of business. So what I do is at that point, when they've gone through my instructor training program, they're basically watched and they get in a position of helping during classes. And basically what will happen is they'll learn from that, and at the same time I qualify them to make sure that they're ready to become instructors, and they either start running a school for me or working for me.
Okay. You also said you had a six-month revolving program.
Well, the six-month program that I have is that program. Well, every program that we have in the three levels is about anywhere from 1 to 6 months. Sometimes could last a little bit longer.
Just go over the same stuff?
Yeah, I'm sorry, say that again?
You just repeat the same stuff that you've been doing?
Well, I mean, no, not really. I mean, there. Not only are we, you know, there are topics that we have over the course of 2 years that we cover that are quite extensive. I mean, like, for instance, month one in our team leadership character development program might be just on goal setting. So we'll teach people how to set goals. Month two might be on public speaking, the art of speaking in public, dealing with crowds, the words to use, not to use, hand movements, eye focus, all of these different things, developing charisma, learning, like we do a whole entire segment on building stories. Like, for instance, in my life, I could tell a story about pretty much every scenario. I pretty much log all the things that happened to me in my life, and I have them memorized in a way that I could regurgitate them in a story form. I'm sure if you've heard me speak before, you know that I could just continually go on and on forever, and I could always, if you say a scenario like, hey, my child got beat up on the playground, I basically could say, well, I know of a kid, and then I have a story that I've logged on this in some way, shape, or form. So basically that would be a part of it. Another category may be, for instance, month three might be time management. And a lot of this stuff from seminars that I've taken, like the Covey, Franklin Covey program, or other programs such as maybe, Tony Robbins or Brian Tracy and so on and so forth. So these are the things that we're teaching them on a regular basis. They're actually, you know, taking and learning things that I've spent thousands upon thousands of dollars to actually master and learn through different private seminars.
It sounds like you have a monthly theme.
It is a monthly theme, correct. And all of my locations do it, and we follow the same theme so that everyone is getting the same proper instruction, and it's just like a curriculum in school.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else?
Hey, you have this as a package available to...
people have been asking me this for months. I don't sell it as a program, although I probably could make a fortune off of it because it's incredible. But I do have it, and I'm not. It's in my Taking It to the Next Level site, and it's month 7, 8, 9, and 10. So basically there's an ongoing thing on takingittothenextlevel.com where literally you'll have monthly homework assignments. So all of these topics that I talk about are in there, and you'd basically click on month 7 when you're doing, and you'd have your homework assignment for your team leaders.
Okay.
It's incredible. All at $49.99 a month, but I'm really not supposed to talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
Just kidding. So anyway, any other questions?
No, that's good.
Okay, anybody else out there?
I got a question, Allie.
Sure.
Do you, like Melody Schumann does, I run her program at my school.
Right.
And what she suggests is to run it in six-month intervals.
Correct.
I'm kind of now that we're this thing's been going on for a while and people want to come in it.
Right.
I really want to start allowing people to come in instead of waiting 6 months. How do you do it? Do you lock people out? Do they have to sign up at certain times? Is there a way
No, actually, I do it just like if they were to join my school. I love Melody's ideas. And a matter of fact, I don't think there's a conference call that I haven't said that she's a genius. So a lot of the stuff I borrow from her and ideas and so on. But basically, if anyone at any point in particular wants to join, they would be put in that cycle. And like, for instance, let's say you joined last month and let's say I joined this month. Basically, I would start on the lesson of the month. So, in other words, I have maybe missed, let's say, September's lesson, which is goal setting, and I jump right in on month two, public speaking. And it's a revolving curriculum, and we continually go back over and over and over again on the programs because, statistically speaking, people do, like, let's say, a Tony Robbins seminar, and they'll do the seminar, and unless it's practiced on a regular basis, a lot of it just falls to the wayside and gets thrown out the door. So we continually go over it and repetitively, like we do in our school, We continually go over the program and the curriculum so that it becomes second nature. We test them, we check them, and sometimes it's a review, but it'll be like in a six-month or eight-month rotation, or a six-month rotation we'll do like every 3 months. We might come back to time management again.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
So I would suggest to you, no, don't hold them out for 6 months. If someone shows the interest, just jump them right in the program. But I'm not sure how Melody has her program set up, that if it's a sequential kind of instructing program. I don't know that.
Right.
Yeah, cool. So I mean that you and I could talk about that more on our one-on-ones when we talk, or you could give me a call anytime.
Sure.
Anybody else? No? Okay. Joanne, rather than muting, I'm going to leave people open on this because I'm going to talk a little and then ask some questions. So we go so quick on this, and as you can see, this kind of thing, this desire – my desire to inspire people to be martial art instructors, I'm very, very passionate about it. And I started off with nobody, thinking that I was going to do it all. And now I have, and I don't really even know, but I think about maybe 17 employees around now, full time. Some of my guys, and this is shocking to many martial arts school owners, two of my key employees make about $100,000 a year. Now, don't offer you guys, if you want a job, you could call me one day, maybe we could get together. But some people out there in martial arts schools, and I know myself sometimes, I pay more than my employees get. I pay more to my employees than I take home myself. But some of my key players that run schools for me, like one of my guys runs a school, and he's running a school with 450 students. Another guy runs a school, and he's got about 310 students. My three smaller locations are really growing quickly, and they're mostly all about 100 students each. And then I have other schools that are on outside and so on. So, you know, some of them have 150 students, some of them have 120, and so on. But those guys get paid according to their ability. In my program, once I get someone and I jump them into a full-time employee position, I put them on some sort of salary basis. So in other words, someone could start as low as maybe $250 a week. Some of my guys who run schools for me could be as low as $250 a week, but we have like a pyramid commission structure. So for instance, this is just to toss out some ideas, but for instance, a guy may run a school, get paid every week in his an automatic deposit in his checking account of $250, less taxes and all that other stuff, and then he gets stuff based off the commissions. Now, my commission structures are in all different areas, but one might be gear sales. The next might be initial sign-ups. The next might be renewals. In other words, like I'll pay the student $25, the instructor $25 if they sign a new member up. And at their anniversary date of 1 year, if they renew them, I'll give them an additional $15. I also pay commissions out on belt promotions. Now, if a guy has I don't charge for belt promotions in my school, but I will pay my staff if they keep someone motivated and I see that they're staying and they're going from yellow belt to green belt to blue belt to purple belt. My black belt instructor that runs that school will get a commission of X amount of dollars per belt level that they keep a student in the rank. Because basically what that means to me is that they're keeping them in the program. And so my staff members are excited to keep their instructors in the program, keep their students in the program, because not only are they keeping students and growing students, but they'll also getting commissions based on the longevity of their training. So that's why we have such a high retention rate, because let's say Joe Schmo from school one, his best interest is to keep people involved, to keep on top of them, to call them, to deal with them, to do whatever he can to keep them live in the program training and excited and motivated and coming back for more. We also give commissions based on higher level promotions. Like, for instance, if they're a black belt and they achieve their black belt from this one school, they may get a $50 or $100 commission. I don't really know what we give. I don't really do that. My payroll company does, but I could, I could always email that to people if you're really that interested in our structure of commissions. I also give commissions on special events. I give that they run, and if they have 50 people, they'll get money. If they get 100 people, they get more. I also have special events, special items that I give them commissions on, such as birthday parties, a black belt instructor, and so on. So there's a lot of different commission structures which will motivate a person to become a full-time instructor. Now, paying some of my guys $100,000 a year, that's a huge salary, I think, for a martial art instructor or anybody. I mean, there are executives and CEOs of companies that are running small companies, or managers that are making $150,000, $200,000 or less down as low as $40,000, $50,000 a year. So if we grow our studios to be at a point where we can afford to pay people to be professionals, not have a job on it and then do martial arts as a side job, but actually grow our studios to be able to afford to pay those people, that's when we're going to grow by leaps and bounds. So did that open up any ideas for questions right there? Does anyone have a question on that stuff? Anybody out there?
Yeah, this is Chuck Crone. I'm very interested in having you email that commission structure over to me, because
yeah,
I'm at a point now where I've got 130-some students moving into a bigger building.
Right.
And I need to hire some employees.
Okay.
And I've got it.
What I suggest is you do a one-on-one with me, and we could cover it heavily. So get in touch with Joanne and set some time aside, and let's do a 20-minute conference call, and I'll really detail it for you.
That sounds great.
Just recently I was in Canada. Some of you may have read the email that I sent out, and I went and I actually did a five-day instructor training program. Normally the one that I teach over the course of 10 weeks, I condensed it to the guys in Canada. It's the Ottawa Academy of Martial Arts. They're a Gracie Jiu-Jitsu school. We kind of condensed as much of it as we could in five solid eight-hour days. So we really, really worked hard at getting these people to be as professional as they can and ask questions and learn sales objections and so on. And I do that quite often with schools, and I'll go out and I'll fly in or drive in and spend like 4 or 5 days with someone's staff. So if you guys are interested in doing that, either contact Joanne or, you know, email me, and I could help you guys in any way, shape, or form that I could possibly do. Now, one of the other gentlemen asked me, do you hire outside employees? I have no objection to hiring an outside employee that's a program manager, an assistant, a administrative assistant, or a salesperson. I do, in my school, have an objection to having an instructor teaching my style, because they could never teach what I teach to my students, because it's just not possible, because my style is so specific. I mean, yes, they could teach kicks maybe if they've done Taekwondo or maybe another style, but my style is so specific, and it's a Japanese traditional art, that they could never be in an instructor position unless they've gone through my system. So that's one thing that I can't do. But I do suggest, and this is a key thing, is not finding people to fill a position, but find qualified people to do the position. I highly recommend, and I don't know if people like Donald Trump, but I highly recommend watching The Apprentice. It's on the third episode. It's on Thursday nights. And if you could watch it not as a reality TV show, but watch it as a business course, you learn so much from him, how he makes decisions based on qualifications of an employee. I've found him to make all the right decisions. I agree with him 100% of the time, because he looks and he goes right for the straight to the soup and nuts of things, and he's able to say, you know what, you just don't have what it takes to be doing this particular job. I think the biggest mistake that we make is we assume that just because they're a good guy, they're a good, you know, good student, that they're dedicated to us and loyal, that they're going to be able to run a position of our company, and we have to look at our martial arts schools as companies. If we don't, we're losing out on actually running our schools as professional organizations, and we're never going to grow. What we're going to do is constantly find people that can't do what they're supposed to, and we're making concessions for them because we like them, we want to help them, we care about them, and so on. That's why hiring outside personnel, I think, is so important for, like, a program manager or a administrative assistant, because you don't have that tie to them. You're not linked, like, student-teacher relationship. You wouldn't feel bad getting rid of them if they're not doing their job properly. Okay, any other questions?
Yes.
Anybody else?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the requirements when you do hire those people as far as law goes. Insurance, workman's comp.
Well, this is something that I'd almost elect not to answer that question, but I will touch on it because, again, every state, and there's probably 20 states on the phone right now, is different. So I would suggest that you get a really good accountant. And but when I say get an accountant, you need to – every school owner out there needs to get an accountant that knows what they're doing, not just filing stupid taxes at the end of the year or quarterly taxes. You need to get an accountant who's a professional, who knows the laws of employee compensation, liability forms, and so on, and how to do all that, because these people will be your source. It's better to pay more for a qualified accountant than it is to you know, kind of – scrimp and save and only have them come in four times a year. Like, for instance, if I ever have a question, I have my accountant's cell phone. I called him twice today on a business deal that I'm putting together, and he's able to answer me with a really good, you know, he knows his stuff, so he's able to say, Allie, don't do this and don't do that because that's not going to work, and I'm a little leery of you doing this because you're overextending yourself. Are you really sure you want to pay this person this amount of money? And I'm able to, you know, voice my opinion and bounce things off of him. So that's real important. So I think the number one priority is to get a good accountant that you could trust. And then, of course, you know, consider going to all the local authorities and find out what the laws are in your area, what you have to pay, where you get your insurance, what the liability laws are as far as insurance and so on in the state that you live in. Across the United States, it's very similar, but there are some tax codes and laws that vary. So I would check into that if I were you. Does that answer your question?
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, I wish I could give you a more specific answer, but I would probably be putting myself in a position of not knowing what I'm talking about.
It was specific. Get a good accountant.
Great. Yeah, well, that's definitely true. Another thing that I'd recommend to people is get good financial advisors. I mean, as a martial arts school owner, we bring in some money, sometimes cash, sometimes checks, and sometimes we don't know what to do with it. So if we have a good financial advisor, not just some guy who claims to be a financial advisor who pulls up in an old, like, 75 Pinto, and he's trying to sell you, you know, some information and say, put your money in this mutual fund. It's performed really great over the last 20 years. But actually sit with you and get a program together where you could literally be, you know, on some sort of 5-year, 10-year business plan where if you put X amount of dollars away, you're going to have X amount of dollars saved. Or he could give you advice on how to pay down your debt and pay off your mortgage and help you with real estate deals, negotiating interest rates, paying down, you know, interest rates on your credit card, investing money, paying yourself before you pay your taxes, and so on. There's a lot of really cool things. I recommend to read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That's by Rob Kiyosaki. And I'm going to give you guys 5 books real quickly to read if you want to write these down. One book is a great book on from Rich Dad, Poor Dad series is called The Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and that's by Rob Kiyosaki. The second one is Retire Young, Retire Rich, also by Rob Kiyosaki. The last name is spelled K-I-Y-O-S-A-K-I. And I've recommended this book to the guy, to one of my guys that I do consulting for, and he actually went out, read the book, was so motivated, went out and bought his first home right away, right off of this little 200-page book. Another book by Rob Kiyosaki is Rich Dad's Guide to Investing. It just tells you the ins and outs, and he's got a series of like 12 books. Another really, really good book you might want to read is called The Living Company. And The Living Company talks about how you build your business into an actual living entity like corporations and get it so that it'll last and stand the test of time. That book is written by a guy named it's D.E. and the last name is D.E. space G.E.U.S. And I'm just looking on my bookshelf. And the next thing that I would recommend, because we're on employee stuff, I would talk about another book by John Maxwell. Phenomenal book, changed my mentality entirely. It's called Developing the Leaders Around You. It's called Developing the Leaders Around You. And there are a million books if you guys want to email me on real estate. I read about 40 books a year. I have a bookshelf of stuff that I try to recommend to people. And the last and final recommendation I would definitely read is The 7 Habits for Highly Effective People, and that's by Covey. And if you read that, I would read his last book, which is unbelievable, called The 8th Habit. It's a great, great book. So there's some recommendations for you on that stuff. And how about any other questions? Anybody out there?
You touched on what you pay people, which was like $250 a week or up, plus the commission structure, which you said we could get from your email. Is that pretty much it? You don't pay people by the hour?
I have some part-time employees that'll teach a certain amount of hours a week, anywhere from like 10 to like 20 hours a week, and I do pay them by the hour. It's my ultimate goal to take every single employee that I have and have them on salary, full-time working for me. I mean, the reason for that is a full-time instructor that does it for a living is much better than somebody who's doing it part-time for the fun of it, like a high school kid, or somebody who is just doing it as in addition to, you know, to subsidize and make more money in addition to their job at McDonald's or in the accounting firm or whatever. I want to make sure that, I want to get these people to have a vision. Let me touch on that as well, because I think that was part of my tagline when it said about this week's, this week's goal, is in order to get full-time employees and people that want to stay with your company, you as a school owner need to develop a mission statement, a vision for your employees. You need to get them to understand what you actually want to do. Like, for instance, my buddy in Colorado is meeting with his people this Monday, and he's got a 5-year plan that he wants to put into effect. And then just quickly, an overview is his plan is basically to build his 3 schools and add on another 3 or 4 schools, so he'll have maybe 5 to 7 full-time schools, and within 5 to 5 years or so, he wants to be able to exit out, meaning retire out and just teach when he wants to, train his black belts, instruct the people that he wants to instruct, and he's going to actually hand those schools over to his people, and then it'll become their schools. And then basically, they're going to pay him a fee every single month of maybe based off of the percentage of students or so on, but it'll be a minimum of $1,500 to $2,000 per month. Now, if you could think about this, he's going to have 5 schools, let's say, and $2,000 a month. He'll be making $10,000 a month for doing nothing other than overseeing some operations and being a consultant and teaching at his own leisure. He'll be making $120,000 take home a year, less his taxes, of course. So I would build a vision so that your employees think of it as a real job. Like when someone gets a job in an accounting firm or a company, they're looking at the future. They want to know that this is something that they could live on. My guys that work for me, they have families. One of my guys has, 2 children and, his wife and 2 children in a house. You know, most people could never afford to be karate instructors unless they know that they're going to be bringing X amount of dollars a year, and every year they're going to get a certain amount of increase and that they have these profit-sharing things and commission structures and so on. I also recommend, which I have, which is going to be on my next level site as well at around month 12, is going to be an employee manual, which pretty much does – it's a 28-page employee manual that I have in my company that talks from anything from drug testing, vacation days, bonus packages, sick days, personal days, everything – the soup and nuts of what an employee has to do. It gives different positions and the qualification of the position. Like an entry-level position might be an assistant instructor. A full-time position might be a regular instructor and so on. So there's so much that I could do another whole entire thing on this stuff. So anybody else, any other questions? I have about 7 minutes left.
I have two questions. First of all, the hourly people, what range do you pay them, like, per dollars per hour? And the second question is, on the commission structure for the salaried people, do you require a minimum for the school to bring in before the commission kicks in?
Well, absolutely. I definitely do that, and that's very, very important that you meet your quota, that you meet your goal for the month before commissions get paid out. Because literally what you could have then is a lazy employee still getting commissions, and you can have a losing month. So always make sure that when you put this structure, when you structure the deal, that it's got protection in there for you. So in other words, if that person, for instance, let's say Johnny Smith is a program manager for you, he has to sign up minimum of 5 new students in order to get his commissions to kick in. If he only signs up 3, then he gets no commission. But you run the risk of losing people that way, but that's okay because I look at it like this. If you lose a person who's not motivated, then you haven't lost anything. But if you get someone who's gung-ho and excited, those people will make you money and make themselves money. There is a certain mentality, that self-motivated mentality, that not everyone has. So that's important. But I definitely would put those fail-safes in there to protect yourself. And the second answer to your question is, I don't know, again, what you want to pay, because you have to base that off of your comfortability of what you can afford. But at the same time, always think about what people will work for. So, you have minimum wage. I don't even know what it is now. It's like $6.50 an hour. If you're going to pay someone minimum wage for a high school kid, that may be okay. But for some, for a professional, will probably not even step into your building and teach for you unless you're paying probably about like $8 or $9, maybe dollars an hour. Now, I find that, a part-time instructor making $9 an hour doing maybe 20 hours a week, it's not bad for the amount of time that they're putting in. But then somebody who's working as a professional 40 hours a week and running a school maybe for you or being a program manager, you're going to probably want to put them on salary and get them in the $300 to $400 range around there plus commissions. Now, understand that even a $500 salary a week on a 4-week month is only going to be $2,000 bucks. That's like 20 students. but 20 of your students at $100 a month will pay the salary of that instructor. And all you need to do now is get people on upgrades and make sure that that instructor is doing other things to boost their income and cover their expenses. So in turn, you're going to be at a full profit, and you're going to be able to get that person. It's well worth it. A lot of people will think with the mentality backwards, and they'll say, when I hit this level, I'll pay this guy this because right now I can't afford it. But I look at it like hire people to fill the position. I just hired another personal assistant. She started with me 2 days ago, and basically she just does all my personal matters. She handles my real estate deals, my insurance deals. She's negotiating some things for lowering insurance prices on some of my rental properties and buildings. She's doing a lot for me that I just don't have the time to do that would sit and take months. And if she's able to get me a better rate on one of my credit cards and save me $300 a month, it paid her salary for the week. And it's going to pay off over the course of the year. So these are things that, you know, sometimes we have to look into the future in order to make our build our business now. Does that help?
You've done good.
I'm trying. Anybody else? We have a few minutes. Anybody else out there?
Yeah, Allie Whitewood.
Yes.
How you doing?
Okay, very good.
This is something I came into the call late, so I don't know if you even mentioned this earlier.
You're going to have to give me 10 push-ups for that, you know, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. But I was doing a private intro.
Oh, there you go. Good man, then. You made up for it. You redeem yourself right there.
All right.
Okay, so what was your question?
It was actually a comment. I implemented a thing here where my people are going into the database of inactive students and unconverted prospects.
Right.
And what I'm doing, if they get them in here, then I'm paying them 100% of the initial sign-up. So,
that's
for example,
beautiful.
If I have somebody who comes in, pays $250 as their initial sign-up fee,
right,
and then $105 a month, right, well, whoever it is that that got them reactivated or got them in, they get $250.
That's awesome.
Up front.
That's great. And, you know, that's the mentality that you and I have spoken about in the past, I think, where it's not about penny wise, dollar foolish.
Exactly.
It's, you know, I look at it like this. Some people go, oh, my God, how would you pay someone $250 just to get them through the door? Well, in turn, that person is probably worth $6,000 to you over the course of 2 to 3 years.
Exactly.
So I think that's a beautiful thing. You just got to make sure that you monitor the progress of the person doing it, because they may, if they're not qualified, this is what I've found in my company in the past, yes, but they're not qualified. They're actually burying the person in a deeper hole of never coming back. So you got to watch their scripts, make sure that they're on top of things, make sure they're professional and motivational, and that they're able to get people through the door. So check on a regular basis, inspect what you expect from them. So that's a good thing. That everybody should take a little bit of that and put that into your program, because I'm sure all of us have databases beyond that, you know, that we could think of prospects that have called, inquired, and have never come in and signed up. When I talked to my staff, I said, I want you to think of each paper that has their name as a little mini $1,000 bill. And every time those people that you contact, one person, and, you know, and you ask questions, are you interested in the class? And they go, no, we're not interested. Would you mind being put on our mailing list? Yes. How about an email list? Oh, that'd be great. Then you start sending them out little tidbits of information, Halloween safety tips, diet information, self-defense information, what to watch out for, how to have fun, just a hello, invite them to your Christmas party for free. Whatever you're going to do, you keep them as part of the loop. They may just stand outside and watch for years at a time until all of a sudden they go, the time is right. I finally have some time on my side. I'm going to go in and join. The whole entire thing is to stay connected. And then you'll eventually get some of those people to come in, and it's worth every bit of your time.
Oh, yeah.
Any other last questions? We have 2 minutes. Okay, we're going to wrap it up then. I hope that you guys really enjoyed what we talked about. This conversation should really not be over, because it is such a wide amount of information and large amount of information that we should be able to go over. And if you ever have any questions, I always tell everyone on the phone, just email me. My email is Renshi, R-E-N-S-H-I. That's Robert, Everett, Nancy, Sarah, Harry, Ida, R-E-N-S-H-I. And it's L-I, like Long Island, Ninja, N-I-N-J-A. And that's AOL.com. So it's Renshi, L-I-Ninja, at AOL.com. Don't feel funny. A lot of people go, wow, I don't want to bother him. But most of the people think that way. So I might, after a call with 100 people, I might get like 5 or 10 emails only. So you guys can email me with any question on anything, any topic relating your schools, relating businesses. If I can answer it, I'll do it. I also do a lot of real estate investing. My ultimate goal is to buy a building for every one of my schools so I could help you. If I can, if I have knowledge, I'll try to share it with you. And we can network, too. There's so many things. And the last thing I'd like to offer is if anyone is interested, at least at minimum, take advantage of a free month of takingittothenextlevel.com. If you are a member, you'll probably know that it's well worth the program. But if you want to, just email me, and I will send you out a free month membership. You could try it out for a month. And even if you only use 1 month, that first month has a ton of stuff, and it's going to be able to help you with systems and curriculum and information and so on. So take advantage of that, and that's takingittothenextlevel.com. It's usually on the bottom of all my conference calls and email weekly emails. And if you have any suggestions for me on things you want to hear or read about, I will do a weekly email on it. So, and the one last thing I say to take advantage of is Member Solutions has the best consulting in the entire industry. There's no one out there that compares to Member Solutions as far as billing and consulting. So take advantage of it. You have experts like Melody Schumann, myself, Joe Gallia, people out there. Even if you can get in touch and speak to people about, like, Steve Panato, who's the VP, he could help you with so much stuff when it comes to, you know, financial information and so on. So you have such an unbelievable amount of resources. I think you guys should take advantage of it and get on those 20-minute calls. Talk to Melody once a month. Talk to myself once a month, or talk to anybody that you can and network. And that's really about it. So, Joanne, I want to say thanks so much, everybody out there. I hope you enjoyed this call. Until next month, I'll be in Japan in another week and a half. So I will be back at the end of October, and I'll speak to you and tell you about my trip in November. Have an unbelievable October, and get out there and pump in Halloween people and you know, make sure that you do so much with this month, and don't let the time slip by. Thanks so much,
Allie.
Everybody. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Sure.